Welcome to the Better Questions Podcast, where we wrestle with hard questions and seek to ask better ones. Today, I'm joined by my colleague and friend, Seth Montgomery. Seth, how are you doing today?
Matt, doing great today. Couple doors down, was hoping you'd knock.
Yeah, I saw this question and I thought I'd bring Seth in because Seth, you're kind of a techie.
Bit of a tech guy, self-proclaimed.
Got a YouTube channel.
That's right.
Or did.
Couple 10 followers on there. But
you are on your Apple devices. That's one thing I know about you.
Oh, that's for sure. And you know, that's one thing that I've always been interested in. I keep as up to date as I can on the tech news going on in the world.
So the question today coming in is, and that's part of why I wanted Seth to join me. It's another question from Shane. Shane, thank you for your amazing questions. The question is simple yet, I think, complex. The question is technology inherently good or evil? Which is an interesting question.
It's compelling. Yeah.
So when you hear that question come out, I mean, obviously technology doesn't really have a soul in the same way that, well, does it?
Right? Well, I think that's where we're starting to get the fog. The sogginess is rising in today's era, that's for
with,
sure.
With the rise of AI, which we did a podcast shout out, if you want to check it out a few weeks back. But give me your initial thoughts, Seth, as you think about technology from a Christian perspective. Is it inherently good, evil, somewhere in between? What are your thoughts?
It's a great question. Shout out to Shane for this one. When I first think of this, I think it's important for us to define technology in this sense. Because, I mean, what's relevant to us today isn't what technology was in the past. You know, technology used to be, we could make fire. We used stone tools. We created the printing press. But today, technology has a whole different meaning. So I think in the context of the modern era, technology isn't necessarily good, but it's also not necessarily evil. I mean, you look at it from the lens of, you know, what it's used for. I think technology is ultimately a tool, but how that tool is used depends greatly upon the context it's being used in.
Yeah, I agree. It's sort of the idea that guns don't kill people, people do. In a sense, I mean, we when you take technology at its basic core, it's a tool for us to accomplish things more efficiently. And the funniest thing is, like, I always think about this. If you were to send me in a time machine to the future and would have to explain, I'm sorry, rephrase that, in the past, like send me back 100 years, and I would to be like, hey, let me tell you about a smartphone. I would be the most useless time traveler because though I know what it is, I don't have the slightest clue how it works. I couldn't tell you how to make a smartphone.
I couldn't
tell you how electricity works. Like, I could tell you what it is and describe it, but it would be, to someone 100 years ago would have no concept or framework for even thinking about an LED screen or, you know.
Let alone one that's touch sensitive.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those things that the challenge of technology is, we know what it is, but we don't actually know what it is.
And I think that's what's fascinating about the era that we're currently in, is technology has progressed so rapidly to the point that it used to be innovation for the purpose of usage, for the purpose of some sort of either function or simplicity or making life easier for us as people. But we've gotten to the point where you don't have to understand it in order to make your life easier. All you have to do is wave a few green ones around, and they're because of it. We don't need to understand what the technology does, like how it works, how it functions, in order for us to use it to make our lives better. And I think that's where this question gets so interesting. Is technology good or evil? It's gotten to the point where we're not questioning whether or not we should use something. We're using it for the sake of making our lives easier. And I think to that end, especially as Christians, are we using technology in a way that's responsible to those not only coming after us, but also to ourselves in a way that is reflecting what, you know, the way Christ would have done this?
So I think about, okay, I agree to an extent, but like, how does one even begin when you think about just the humanity at large to regulate technology. Think about like how it's used in evil ways, how AI systems are using tracking systems for facial recognition to detain Uyghur Muslims in China. Or like think about how in a lot of ways, you know, we become cell phones and a majority of mobile games are designed to get children addicted and to spend money. And people are being exploited for thousands of dollars on like virtual slot machines.
Right.
I may or may not know from experience. I got addicted to those games, right? Like things that like are meant to
control,
control and consume and collect our data so that they can even, you know, their phones, the fact that our phones and computers are listening to us. And like, I don't know, I guess my question is how does it not become just go beyond being something that's neutral and becoming something that's evil?
Matt, I think you're striking at the heart of this issue, which is technology is a tool, but it's a tool that we use either to control others or to free others. I mean, you look at, I mean, what I mentioned earlier, look at Johannes Gutenberg, printing press, way back.
Shout out to Johannes.
I mean, at the time, the only way you could read the Bible was by having it read to you.
Right.
Most people couldn't read. They had to go to a church. They heard, you know, these monks or these abbots read it to them. But that was the only way they could receive the Word of God. The printing press comes around. Gutenberg, suddenly reading is an option for the common man, for the common person. It's something that frees ideas. It creates opportunities for the world to grow and change and learn. Whereas you take, for example, like you mentioned, the AI facial recognition that's going on in China, or even the release of the People's Radio in Germany during the rise of the Nazi Empire. I mean, ways that technology is used to control, to herd, to misinform, to... And I think the difference between those two examples is the intent behind the people using
them.
And that's where... You know, is technology good or is it evil? Would the world be better off without technology? I would argue no.
Yeah.
I would argue the amount of good that has been done through the globalization of the world, the ability to communicate across continents, has brought so much good, not only in the physical sense in helping the needy, but also in spreading the gospel. I mean, if we look at our chief end here on earth, what are we here to do as believers? Technology is vastly improved our ability to do that.
I think the challenge is we're living in a time where it's growing so rapidly and exponentially that we're not going to have the kind of perspective and clarity until, you know, 100, 200 years out to look back and be like, well, look at what, how, yes, it changed the world in a lot of good ways, but look at how it also destroyed so much. There's so much destruction, whether it's from the invention of the atomic bomb or whether it's the pollution that we're putting into the air based on the amount of plastic that we're producing in global scale, or whether it's the effect that's happening on the planet environment, and just so many things in which, you know, and here's the Christian perspective is obviously that technology does not dismiss God's sovereign rule, right? Proverbs 16:4, the message is simple, that God is sovereign and we are not. Everything is prepared according to his purposes for us, but it's also, it makes us, if we're going to be good stewards of the chief end and of, you know, being, having dominion over the world, which God gave us, I think it means being good stewards of technology. That's such an important role that, that we are going to have to play, because I think you and I both know, as much as there is a net positive, there's also a net good. I'll give one other example. It's like the, you mentioned the printing press, which is a great one. Also the invention of the telegram. The ability to send information from one place to another at a distance for the first time, right? News is able to travel more quickly for the first time. Now news gets to us instantly. There's a negative to it, right? The positive was, let's say, you know, in a small town, a grocery store burns down and the town doesn't have food. Well, they can send a message to send food. The negative is you get so much information at one time. It creates in us information overload, and it creates sort of this like, I think about getting on the news today and you read about what's going on in Israel, you read about what's going on the rising interest rates of homes, and you read all the election nonsense that's going on, and all the different trials for politicians and Ukraine and Russia, and there's so much information that we're bombarded with that we become almost emotionally numb, or like a low hum of anxiety. Mm. So you've got, on one hand, yes, news travels fast. On another, what is it doing to us and our ability to be present where we are?
Wow.
I don't know.
I mean, you're spot on there. And it makes us, I think that's where it leaves the Christian in a position where they have to choose. It's a place of balance where we both live in this world, but we're not of it. We are bound by its workings, and yet we're called to something higher and something greater. And that's where I think the use of technology can be good, but we must be wary of the evil.
Hmm. I would say, maybe I'm overthinking this, but like, I think there are morally, this is an ethical conversation, so we're robbing into the realm of ethics. There are morally evil forms of technology. Mm. And again, I don't know if I can defend this well, but like, what I'm thinking is like, I think like the rise in sex robots. I don't think that there is any positive whatsoever that could come to human flourishing in our society for something like that. Or even like, I remember I was scrolling on Instagram and it was like out of the movie Her, where all of a sudden there's this like AI lover that's like, do you want to be my lover? Mm. And like, it's an app you download to like have a relationship with an artificial intelligent. Like, there is no morally good, I don't think, that can come out of something like that outside of detachment and mental health issues. Mm. Because what's the logical end of that?
Right.
So I don't know. I guess that's what I'm trying to discern is like, is it morally neutral? I don't know that we can say that it is. I think in some instances, sure. You made some great examples. Mm. I think there's a lot of great resources on the internet. There's a lot of bad crap on the internet.
Right.
And so I think it comes down to stewardship. Mm. How do we steward it? How do we put in boundaries and margins and things to help us? But I don't know. Yeah. Hmm. Any other thoughts?
Well, I'm still going to be buying the new iPhone every year I can. And I don't think that's evil. But yeah. I think that's where it gets into. Is the man or woman behind it being a good steward of the technology they're given? And I think that's our role to play.
Yeah. I think it's that. I also think it's the other thing that I would bring to it is we have to be hyper vigilant as parents and as adults helping kids. You work with high schoolers.
Unequivocally.
And training them how to have healthy relationships with technology. Because it's something where I'm old enough to like be able to really clearly delineate between time when there was smartphones and time when there wasn't.
Right.
I mean, I had a flip phone and I had a Palm Pilot. It's like, I was there every step of the way.
Stages.
Like your generation and even younger generations, that they have a harder time being like, oh, there was a time before this. Mm-hmm. I'm reading the survival book called Endurance about this ship that essentially was on a journey to Antarctica and had this horrible, got off track and they had to survive for like 200 days without technology. I mean, they played chess by candlelight. Mm. And like, it just reminds me, like, there was a world in which they didn't have technology like we do. Mm. I mean, obviously the ship is a type of technology, but like ability to communicate, but to entertain.
Right.
Like, there is that world. Mm. And so I think about this in light of the pandemic. Like, I remember for a while there, the narrative was, well, we can just do church online. And we saw really quickly that doubling down and going fully in that direction of being distant but together was not sustainable. Mm.
And I remember sitting in my living room with my family trying to sing the worship songs with the band, but it just wasn't quite there. And I think that's where we see the power of community and the power of the time before technology. And
yeah.
Really shows us the grip that it has on us when we lose it.
The power of embodied community.
Mm.
Like in, not just, because like, look, let's be honest. Last night, we played Fortnite together.
We did.
We got some dubs.
we
got one dub.
We got one.
But that was an example of technology being a time to share space on a internet magical land full of colors and sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the reason people like that game in particular is the sounds and the colors are so stimulating, you become like addicted to it. Another conversation for another time.
Yeah.
My point is like, that was enjoyable. That was a shared space. I will tell you though, there is nothing like an old school LAN party.
And let me tell you, Matt, I did that with some college students.
You know what?
Not a week and a half ago, and it was electric.
There is something about, for those who don't know, those of you listening who are like, what is a LAN party, you nerds? A LAN party is where you would get together with people in the same room and using the technology LAN. I don't even know what it stands for.
Yeah,
you might.
I'm not sure.
I'm going to Google it because I want to know. But you get together and you connect your devices. Back in the day for me, it was Halo.
Halo LAN parties.
And you connect, what does it stand for?
Local Area Network.
Local Area Network. Thank you.
Pulled it out.
Yeah. You gather with personal computers. We used to do with Age of Empires, different games, and you connect your computers, but you'd be in the same room. Mm. Dude, I remember Midnight, Halo, Mountain Dew, Code Red, pizza. We'd be up until 4 a.m., but there's something about being together and sharing a space that online gaming is great, but there's nothing quite like the embodied experience. And maybe that's part of where I think we need to think about the ways we use technology. Do they cause us to isolate and to be distant? Because I think about like, you know, video games, are they a positive or a negative? I think if video games isolate and cause you to retreat and detach from the world, they're definitely a net negative and problematic, right, especially for kids.
Mm.
I think if they bring people together, on the other hand, there's something special and powerful about sharing space and about relationships, camaraderie. It's like, I heard it described as like Minecraft and Fortnite are playgrounds for kids in the modern era, which to an extent I think is problematic, but like—
in some ways sad.
Sad,
that
right?
They're not actually on playgrounds, but—
I think there's something to that.
Mm-hmm.
That there can be net positive as long as there's balance.
Moderation.
Maybe. Moderation, that's the word I was looking for.
I mean, I think of some of my closest friends from when I was in college, and the only chance I have to connect with them is through, we hop on Super Smash Bros. Online, and we get on a phone call, and we play together, and we talk. And it's just like we're right there next to each other. But it's, like you said, it's not quite the same. There's something about presence that is so much more meaningful when you're actually there. But it provides a way to connect, to continue a friendship that I otherwise wouldn't be able to do.
Yeah, I think about that in light of like different social media too. Like, I do think that there are certain social medias that are more beneficial to actually being social. Like, I think about Marco Polo, where you're actually having conversation. That's how I stay in touch with my friends from college.
Right.
And I think about Facebook even, like, for all of its negativity. I think, like, there's a certain, I just got a text from friends from college today because a memory came up from 2008, right? Which is me rapping, freestyle rap. It's ridiculous.
What an era.
I know. But, like, that's connecting people, not just content delivery systems.
Yeah.
So anyway, lots to talk about here. Great conversation, Seth. I really, really appreciate your perspective. And hey, welcome to the pod. You're now an official staple that's going to have to come in.
Hey, two doors down. Thanks for having me on.
We can start a band.
Oh, two doors down.
Two doors down.
One
less better than three doors
three
down. I can't even remember any of their songs, but
yeah.
I'm sure if I heard them, I would know them. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. This is Better Questions. Send in your questions to betterquestions@eastminster.org, or you can go to our website, eastminster.org/betterquestions. And we will see you next time. Grace and peace.